Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage, Chiefs of FullPressCoverage.com, coming to you guys here on a Friday. It is now December, but kind of weird. It's been a pretty nice week here, 70s yesterday, so doesn't feel like December, which I don't really mind at this point in the NFL season. So people going to the game at Arrowhead on Sunday, probably going to be a great day to tailgate, a fun night game, kind of weather there for early December. But the Kansas City Chiefs, the Denver Broncos meeting for the first time this season, Sunday night football game that was originally scheduled for noon Central Time at Arrowhead, flexed into the Sunday night spot. So another night game for the Chiefs at home. We're going to be previewing that today. Obviously, we're going to be kind of going back and forth a little bit. Some things that stand out to me headline wise or matchup wise, both Chiefs offense versus Broncos D and Broncos O versus Chiefs D. Obviously, still a lot riding on this game for both teams. The Broncos have kind of continued to scratch and claw their way in the playoff race, and currently the first team outside looking in is the 8 seed in the AFC at 6-5. They're tied record-wise with the final wildcard team right now with the Chargers, and they're only a game behind the other two wildcard teams, Buffalo and Cincinnati, only a game behind Kansas City in the AFC West. So the Chiefs are trying to obviously stave them off. The Chiefs coming off the bye. We know how good Andy Reid's been in his career off the bye. I don't think there's really anything that he does necessarily different every year. I think there's always some stuff that he comes out with that's kind of just getting his guys kind of relaxed and getting them in position to succeed. But a guy that's been 11-1 at home after the bye, and a guy that obviously just does one of the better self-scouting jobs, I think, around the league of all the better coaches there. So the Chiefs trying to stave them off. They're coming off the bye, 1-4 in a row going into the bye week. But as I kind of wrote about earlier in the week, if you guys missed it, go check out our article from Tuesday where I kind of wrote about how the Chiefs can run the table, what they'll have to kind of do on the field to get that done, because I truly believe they're even though they have a lot of tough games left, I think this is a very favorable final stretch of the season for the Chiefs. And it kind of starts with a Broncos team they've dominated for so long. The Chiefs have actually won 11 straight games entering Sunday night football against the Broncos. You got to go back to September 2015 in a game that the Chiefs actually played pretty well in most of the game. They just couldn't quite finish very strong in that one. It was actually a Thursday night home opener that week. Week two of 2015, the Chiefs came off an opening a week win at Houston, and it was a game where Peyton Manning kind of led a couple of quick scoring drives at the end of that game. And then if you guys remember Jamaal Charles, they tried to run out the clock with him, and a very rare mistake for Charles back in that peak form of his, had the ball get punched out and Denver ran it back for a touchdown with just a few seconds left, where Kansas City could have just took a knee and tried to win it in overtime. But that was still a lot of fun things that happened in that game. Marcus Peters, his rookie season, had a pick six in the home opener on Peyton Manning. There was a lot of fun stuff from that game, but that's how far back you have to go to find the last time where the Broncos beat the Chiefs. So it's been a long time. There's been, I mean, so many things that have changed, obviously, for both these teams during that lengthy time span. I mean, I'm pretty sure I saw somebody say the Chiefs only have three players on their roster right now that were on the team back when the Broncos last beat them: Travis Kelce, long snapper James Winchester, and I believe Daniel Sorensen was the other one. I don't think there was any other players that are currently on the Chiefs roster that was on there last time Denver won against Kansas City. So it's pretty crazy to think it's been that long, thinking about all the years kind of in the 2000s that Denver won, because if you go back before this 11-day win streak the Chiefs have, Denver had won, I believe, 13 of like their last 16 before that against the Chiefs. So it's definitely kind of been a pendulum swinging each and every decade between these two AFC West rivals. But this is a Denver team, I think, you know, just kind of starting it off. If you guys missed our opponent overview article from Wednesday, go check that out. But I mean, this is a team I think a lot of people, whether you're an AFC West fan, you know, just a casual NFL fan, whatever. I think this is a team a lot of people realize they have a lot of great foundational pieces that they can win with right now. They've set their offense up pretty well to kind of succeed, but until they get that quarterback position figured out, it's going to be, I think, more of the same kind of middling results for Denver. I'm actually a little surprised they've kind of continued to play as hard as they have since trading away Von Miller. At least that's kind of what a lot of people thought, myself included, when they made that trade, is they're kind of moving into a transition, focusing on what they're going to try to do to get better next year. But that kind of motivated the players to kind of, you know, get some new leaders kind of in the forefront and kind of turn their season around themselves on the field. So that's an interesting thing to kind of watch with Denver. But again, with the quarterback situation, I mean, they've had 11 different starting quarterbacks start at least one game since Peyton Manning retired in 2015. So this is a group that, you know, of course, had a chance to get Justin Fields or Mac Jones in the first round last year. They chose not to. And that's not an indictment, I think, on their first round pick of Patrick Surtain. I mean, he's a great cornerback. One of the, you know, top two or three guys for me last year in the draft at corner, and obviously has some great NFL lineage from his father, who was a one-time Chief. I just think you look at those guys and the skill sets and the winning that they kind of provided from college. It was kind of crazy to see Denver pass up on that, but I don't think in the end that was totally a big surprise, just because it's a team that's just swung the bat so many times. You kind of thought this was a year they were a little more skeptical on doing that. So I wasn't totally surprised to see them pass on either of those guys, but it still was a decision that's going to be maybe costly for a team that is, trying to save Vic Fangio's job. I think he's still got a pretty safe place in Denver, but I mean, he's a guy that's obviously not really moved the needle much for this Broncos team since becoming head coach a few years ago. And, I mean, who knows? Maybe they're after Aaron Rodgers, like the reports suggest. Russell Wilson's another guy. I mean, it may be a little bit hot takey soon at this point, but I think Russell Wilson, you're looking at how Seattle's playing this year and the reports of him wanting possibly out of Seattle last offseason. I think this is another team that could swoop in and get Russell Wilson. So a lot to watch there this offseason, but going into Sunday, we'll kind of shift our focus now to that offense of Denver's. And the first thing I kind of want to talk about is the running backs, because the running back duo of Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams, this is a group that's been used pretty much the same all season long, you know, basically an even 50-50 split. If you guys did not check out the opponent overview article from Wednesday, I kind of listed certain categories where those two are just so similar, so identical right now with their statistics, whether it be carries, receptions, receiving yards, rushing yards, yards per carry. It's one thing that I think Denver's done pretty well to kind of keep both guys fresh and kind of stay committed to that approach, because there's certain games that I think you can see the opposing defenses are really having a hard time adjusting to, you know, the different styles. They're not that different, but I think there's enough difference there that you can see the defenses are having to adjust on the fly. They're really, you know, not trending, you know, towards making a lot of stops in the backfield on these guys. And of course, with Javonte Williams, I mean, they traded up to get him in the second round last spring. So this is a guy they have high hopes for already. But you look at Melvin Gordon, I mean, he's having a lot better season this year than he was last year with the Broncos, kind of dealt with some injuries, was really inconsistent and kind of a boomer bust kind of performance. So the only thing that's really in the question with the running back position right now for Denver is if Melvin Gordon is going to play or not this weekend, kind of dealing with the hip/back injury, it looks like, and maybe a knee injury as well. So yesterday on Thursday, as I'm recording this on Friday, Broncos head coach Vic Fangio did say that as of yesterday, it's maybe a 50-50 chance that Gordon plays. So it could be a lot more Javonte Williams getting a full-time role than we've ever seen in the NFL so far. And obviously, I think he's capable of handling that already. just a power and explosive kind of back that is really kind of, I don't want to say a compact build, but kind of just a stout build at the running back position that is going to take you head on. He's not afraid to run guys over. So definitely a guy that can produce a lot of broken tackles, make people miss in space, but a very smart, straightforward runner with his understanding of angles, when to kind of hit his acceleration in space. So I do think Javonte is capable of handling the full-time workload if Melvin Gordon doesn't go. But I think what helps the Chiefs in that situation, if you don't have Gordon on the field, is, of course, how much less Denver's possibly able to open up the offense. The options that they have to work off of, I think, becomes a lot less as well. When you talk about play action passing, when you talk about using the running backs in the passing game on the screens or quick pass game, just kind of the different ways they can run at you, as far as whether it's in between the tackles or stretching you out to the outside zones. And quietly, this is an offensive line that has gotten a lot better for Denver over the last few years. Premium investments made into guys like Dalton Risner, Lloyd Cushenberry III. You know, it's been a little bit of an up and down career for Garrett Bowles, but he's kind of settled in finally now after a tough first couple few seasons at left tackle. Still a question if he's going to play this week. He dealt with an ankle injury, missed a couple games before going on the COVID list. He was activated off of the COVID list yesterday on Thursday. So we'll see what the offensive line kind of looks like, because they're kind of been banged up. But I think when you look at not having Gordon and you don't have the full offensive line, again, I don't think it's an indictment on Javonte Williams. I think it's just something that the options for Denver really become pretty scarce when you look at how little consistency this offense has in hitting kind of explosive plays down the field, stringing together drives with a lot of pace. I mean, they're kind of a slower paced team, methodical. So that's something that's going to be interesting to watch, is the running back position. What's the usage if Melvin Gordon is active? Does he get still kind of a 50-50 share with Javonte Williams and with the Chiefs? I mean, this is probably one of the best stretches they've played in their run defense in a long time, averaging just 81.5 rushing yards per game allowed right now. And it's, as we kind of talked about in the, you know, the Chiefs can run the table article on Tuesday, they have a pretty good test to finish the season with at the running back position, facing Javonte Williams, possibly Melvin Gordon twice, Austin Eckler, Josh Jacobs, who looks refreshed for the Raiders. And then you look at Joe Mixon and Najee Harris, who can be workhorses from the AFC North. So with how good their run defenses play, that's kind of the number one thing I'm focusing on, especially when Denver doesn't necessarily hit a lot of explosive plays consistently down the field. Kind of flipping it over now, Chiefs offense versus the Broncos D. Kind of one area that I actually want to focus on first is the third down offense for the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, it has not been horrible, but I think with obviously the expectations that this team has, definitely been a frustrating year for them still on third down offense, especially I think when you talk about getting into the red zone and getting on the other team's side of the 50. It's pretty crazy how they've been able to kind of attack different coverages with a more kind of varied look a little bit more during this win streak. But yeah, the Chiefs enter Sunday. They've converted third downs at 51.5% rate this season. That leads the league. Only one other team this year has a rate above 47%. So you look at Andy Reid and what he's always been able to do well, whether it's being able to have man beaters on his route combinations and passing concepts. And you kind of look at other things as far as the style of play that the Chiefs wide receivers kind of present right now, being able to win underneath and in the intermediate part of the field. And of course, the difficult thing for receivers in this offense, like we've talked about before, it's an intricate offense to learn for wide receivers. A lot depends just on one single play, one single rep, what the coverage is showing them, the options that they kind of have based off of, you know, kind of where they are on the field. So there's a lot of options that go into every single play and every single route in the passing game. But the third down defense is what I really wanted to focus on first, because this is an area of the field that I do think it is obviously been a lot better lately for the Chiefs. But I think you're still wanting to see a little bit more on the opponent's side of the 50. Can they kind of get, you know, the play action pass game going like they do around, you know, their own 30, their own 40-yard line? I think there was a one play that really stuck out. You know, I don't remember if it's necessarily third down, but kind of the play design that they had on one play against Dallas was a little pump fake that Mahomes kind of had, acting like he was going to throw it on a curl route to Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill, and then was able to hit Byron Pringle on kind of a deep corner route. Kind of plays like that where I just think you kind of get the defense having to think quick and on their feet, but also allowing routes to develop by giving Mahomes a little bit of freedom to see what he can do to kind of tease the defense. So, you know, third down D, I think when you talk about what they need to do maybe differently down in the red zone or down, you know, on the opponent's side of the 50, I think I would like to see kind of what actually we saw more of in the Raider game, screen passes, quick passes, not necessarily relying always on hitting the big play. So I think give yourself a little bit of options, a little more options in the passing game on what guys you really want to kind of focus on feeding the ball to, but also, you know, don't always kind of have to force it of getting, you know, well past the sticks. I think you can kind of use yourself to kind of toy with the defense a little bit. And if it is a play where you get maybe 6 yards on third and eight, you want to go for it on fourth and two. I think the Chiefs really have to start, you know, becoming a little more aggressive in those spots. You always want to get points when you can. But I think with how much improvement we've seen, at least enough of it for the most part, these last 3-4 weeks offensively, I think that's something that I would love to see from the Chiefs offense on third downs. It's just a little more variance to their play calling. And I think just the willingness to not always take the big play or the big shot all the time. So that's something that's going to be interesting. And I think especially when you talk about playing this opponent in the Denver Broncos, Patrick Surtain, we talked about him briefly earlier, coming off a game where he had 2 interceptions and a pick six. So he's really playing his best stretch of the season right now of his rookie year. A guy that's feisty at the catch point, tremendous footwork and agility. I think his kind of technique and coverage is among the best of all the rookie corners, even though maybe I didn't think he was maybe the best all-around package of all the corners coming out last year. I think his technique was more one of the more well-advanced ones. So with him, you got to be obviously ready to face contact and face a guy that's going to be smart as far as having a nose for the football and how to use his ball skills. But you look at the other cornerbacks, I think that'll kind of be playing tight. I mean, Kyle Fuller, former Chicago Bear, not necessarily what he used to be, but still having a decent enough season, kind of moving around the defensive formation. And then, you know, you look at somebody on the other end in Ronald Darby, who's a veteran guy that's really played well the last few years. He's a guy that really does actually a better job down the field on deeper passes. So that kind of goes back to not necessarily hitting the deep shot every time on third down, as he's a guy that is really challenging, you know, on those deep to intermediate throws, not necessarily a guy that's afraid to run hip for hip and kind of stay with the receiver. And he does a good job of kind of getting his head around and finding the football quickly. So it's a really interesting thing when you look at how well these cornerbacks are playing for Denver. Justin Simmons, of course, one of the best safeties in the league as well over the middle of the field. That's going to be a guy that you're going to obviously have to rely on kind of outsmarting him with how well his instincts are. So that's something there that's going to be interesting to watch for me. First off, with the Chiefs offense is how their third down D third down offense kind of goes about things. What's the play calling? What kind of areas of the field are they going to attack? Moving back over, Broncos O versus Chiefs D. We kind of talked about the quarterback being, you know, the only spot this team needs to really fix on their offense. But I think Teddy Bridgewater, one thing that's interesting to watch with him, even though he's not consistent, I think in stringing drives together and obviously hitting on explosive plays, his mobility, that's something that I kind of wanted to focus on next is if you go back to last year's game where he played against the Chiefs as a member of the Panthers at Arrowhead, he did a good job of using his legs. There was a long fourth down. I believe it was fourth down. It might have been third down that he converted. I mean, I don't know how you let him pick that up, but it was a play where the Panthers were on about the Kansas City 45-yard line. He ran straight up the middle of the field after routes developed, and Daniel Sorensen and Ben Neiman were kind of there and weren't able to get the stop before he reached the marker as he kind of dove forward. So Teddy Bridgewater's mobility, I think it's going to be interesting to watch just because, of course, he's been a little bit more banged up this season. Last week against the Chargers, kind of dealt with the leg injury a little bit, and I think you could see him maybe not as willing to take off and run as quickly just because I think there's some things that are holding him back a little bit more this year. But his mobility, being able to throw on the run, that's something I think the Chiefs have to do a good job of kind of corralling and controlling. And I think it helps with when you look at how this pass rush has been playing right now. The addition of Melvin Ingram unlocked so many things for this Chiefs pass rush. So I think they're going to really kind of come out and try to overload, throw a lot of extra pressure, I think, early at Teddy Bridgewater. So he has to kind of get, you know, those balls out quick. Maybe they're inaccurate. Maybe he holds on to them and it leads to a sack. I think you're going to see Steve Spagnuolo, kind of like he did against Jordan Love and the Packers, I think really get into his bag of tricks in this game, because this is a contest, like we said, this offense that doesn't hit on a lot of explosive plays, at least that consistently. So I could expect Steve Spagnuolo to kind of bring extra pressure, bring some overload blitzes, really kind of force the stunts and twists to kind of be taken away, I think, by Denver's offensive line. And like we said, with how banged up they are right now, and kind of how little some of these guys have played lately that could be back in the lineup, I think you just try to do your best to kind of get Teddy Bridgewater to kind of roll out of the pocket, see if he can beat you on the run. And that's something I don't think he's necessarily incapable of doing still, but I think that this season, when you're talking about him being a little bit slower, a little more hindered as far as how healthy his legs are, I think this is going to be a game that you see Steve Spagnuolo turn up the pressure a little more than he has the last 2 weeks against Dallas. Of course, they got a lot of pressure on Dak Prescott, but that was kind of more with natural pressure. And then with Vegas, they really they were winning with natural pressure there too, but he was even more relaxed maybe than what the Dallas game was. So that's going to be interesting to me, is see if Teddy Bridgewater can beat you outside the pocket, because we know this is a pretty deep receiving core for Denver. Jerry Jeudy back now for the last few weeks. Obviously, a very smart route runner. How he attacks defenses with his angles and his fakes and counters—that's something that is a treat to watch if you're watching him when he's not playing the Chiefs anyway. But yeah, I think overall, you look at guys like Tim Patrick and Cortland Sutton, guys that can win vertically with their size and strength at the catch point. That's something that's going to be interesting to watch. So if you kind of get Teddy, I think, in his own head a little bit, try to get him out of his comfort zone, you're not going to see as many of those receivers kind of get rolling and kind of get in their zone like we can see them do time and time again, and really kind of take a game over. And before you know it, you know, they're hitting on longer touchdowns. So that's something that's going to be interesting to me. Teddy Bridgewater, how does he kind of work off structure? You know, and can he make those throws consistently out of the pocket if he's forced to do so? Moving back over to the Chiefs O versus the Broncos D, the next thing I kind of want to talk about, we talked about the running game on Denver's side opening up so much for this offense of the Broncos. But I think with the Chiefs, I mean, this is really the I think the running game that the team kind of envisioned what they wanted to do going into the season. We talked earlier in the year about Andy Reid and the team wanting to run the ball more. You know, not necessarily to the level of what the Colts do or the Browns or the Ravens, but I think this is finally, you know, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire back in the lineup, this is really, I think, what the team thrives off of, is having these two guys that kind of meshing different styles together, able to wear down the defense in different ways. This is something that I think was just a really fun to watch late in that Dallas game as they were kind of putting it away. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, again, not necessarily his best career game against Dallas, but I think you saw a lot of encouraging things for him coming off a very awkward MCL sprain entry that he suffered against Buffalo. There was a lot of plays where he made guys miss in space, some patience that he showed, letting his blocks kind of develop for him. And then he got Darrell Williams on the other end, who's obviously a punishing guy, always running and falling forward, kind of a straightforward approach. This is the kind of game where I really am interested to see if Andy Reid is going to come out and kind of play with a more balanced attack. again, coming off a bye, I almost don't think he will, just because I think he's going to kind of be revved up and kind of coming out for hitting home runs after home runs if he can. But this is kind of a group with Denver. They've dealt with a lot of injuries defensively. Obviously, not only Von Miller out of the picture now, but you know, Bradley Chubb, he is healthy right now, but barely played this season, dealing with an ankle injury out on the edge. And then you have, of course, this linebacker room. I mean, they've dealt with so many injuries this year. Alexander Johnson, former UDFA, is a guy that's really become a staple for this Broncos defense, out for the year. Same for Josie Jewell. So this is a lot of younger guys that are getting thrown into the fire here. Rookie out of Ohio State, Baron Browning. Justin Sternad, been there for a couple few years out of Wake Forest. And then you also look at kind of how much kind of smaller they are size-wise than guys like Alexander Johnson and Josie Jewell. There's not as much power in this Broncos front seven, especially at the linebacker position. And we know this is a offensive line in Kansas City that tremendous as run blockers. They love doing it. I mean, they're able to reach the second level so well. The offensive line overhaul that the Chiefs made, kind of putting more power and more stability up front, obviously, it's helped Patrick Mahomes tremendously, but I think it's really helped the running backs kind of give them more options to work with. So that's something that I'm going to be interested to see, is how often do the Chiefs use the running game in this one? You know, obviously play script and play flow can certainly change what each team has planned in that regard. But I think with Andy Reid, this is a game where I think he actually could benefit a little bit from running the ball quite a bit at these linebackers and at this kind of middle of the Denver defense, because I mean, they've just been so banged up. For the most part, I think they've fared okay. But guys like Baron Browning and Justin Sternad, I mean, these are guys right now that, you know, very inexperienced, you know, like I said, smaller guys that I just don't think have a lot to lean on as far as athleticism and power. So, overall, I think this is a game, as much as Andy Reid may want to come out and go for the knockout punch right away with the passing game, I could see this being a game where Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams kind of really start setting themselves up for a strong final push here to end the regular season. And I think this is a game they could really kind of hit on some plays where they just have a lot of open space outside the tackles, whether that be, you know, kind of on outside zone reads. I think there's a lot that they can kind of throw at Denver here that has been a little bit up and down defending the run. So it is going to be interesting to see how Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams do with the running game, see how much opportunities that they are given. Last couple things we'll talk about here now. Of course, we'll have our game preview article come out later today, same day as this podcast episode drops on Friday. So stay tuned for that. We'll have a little bit more headlines and matchups, keys to victory to look forward to as well. But I do want to talk about a couple of players that I'm excited to kind of watch for, and players that I'm interested the most in seeing for Kansas City. One offensive player, one defensive player in a matchup like this. Starting with the offensive side of the ball, I think the number one guy I'm actually most interested in watching this week is Josh Gordon. I think there is a chance for him coming up that he's really going to start to see some more, I don't want to say, you know, direct feeds, but in the passing game, I think you're going to see Josh Gordon utilized a little bit differently than what he was before the bye week. And I think, of course, some of the expectations that some people had for him when he first got to Kansas City, definitely unrealistic. But he's not a guy that came to Kansas City to be a volume guy. He's a guy that kind of came to be a difference maker, whether it's as a vertical threat, third down, as an underneath guy. I think you've seen a lot of the underneath game so far, but the way Andy Reid's kind of talked about Josh Gordon and even Patrick Mahomes just lately, I think there's a lot that they have designed for him. So can he capitalize on that? We'll see what kind of looks he's given against a very stingy Denver secondary. So Josh Gordon, interested to see how he does, because he did have a couple of more direct targets against Dallas in the last game before the bye, made a catch on a quick out route. So it'll be interesting to see how much more diverse they use them, if they do, and again, what kind of ways he's kind of able to thwart these Denver secondary who loves to kind of win with physicality. So Josh Gordon's kind of the top guy that I'm most interested in watching for the Chiefs offense this week. Defensively, there's so many guys that I think are actually primed for, you know, breakout performances in the second half of the season after the bye. There's so many guys that I thought about and so many guys that I really wanted to kind of look at and go with. But I think one guy that I kind of keep coming back to is Jaron Reed at defensive tackle. His last few games before the bye was really what we kind of saw of him in Seattle, being able to collapse the pocket quickly, kind of using his length to kind of get off of blocks rather than necessarily relying on active hands and rolling hands with his hand usage and hand punches. So I think there's a lot as far as what we saw from him the last few games that he's really going to continue to kind of build off of. And in a game like this, whether Melvin Gordon plays or not, I think this is a perfect opportunity for Jaron Reed to kind of continue building what we saw from him in the last few games, getting to face the run quite a bit possibly, but also I think you look at how banged up the Denver offensive line might be going into this game. And for Jaron Reed, I think this is a chance for him to continue to kind of use that power and that strength that he has up front to kind of continue to make more plays in the backfield like we saw before the bye. So there's many guys that I'm excited about seeing how they kind of respond after the bye with how well this defense is playing. But Jaron Reed, with what we saw from him the last few games compared to early in the season struggles that he had, it was fascinating to watch him right before the bye. So really interested to see how he does. Those are a couple players I'm most looking forward to watch for the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. So that will do it for our game preview podcast episode today. Like we said, game preview article will also be out today on Friday, so be on the lookout for that later after this podcast episode drops. If you guys missed any of our other articles this week, go to fullpresscoverage.com or fullpresscoverage.com/Chiefs to check that out. It's a lot of great content we had this week, not just for Chiefs Broncos game where we had our opponent overview on the Broncos and key matchups for the game listed. But we also had our second straight week of prospect watch list article that dropped on Thursday, conference championship weekend in college football. So some players that I have my eye on. Should be a great weekend in college football with some playoff spots in the line for the college football playoff. Other fun kind of stories and teams that we're not used to seeing playing conference championship games that are going to be doing so this weekend. So prospect watch list, I have 10 players as potential 2022 NFL draft prospects for the Chiefs that I'm watching for. So be sure to go check that out. Plus my Chiefs Can Run the Table If article from Tuesday. If you guys missed our last podcast episode, we kind of broke down the AFC playoff picture that came out on Tuesday. So go check that podcast out as well. I'll be kind of posting and plugging those again throughout the rest of the weekend on Friday and Saturday. So if you guys follow me on Twitter at ParadeNollegeCheck9 or follow us at FPC_Chiefs, I'll be posting and publishing those again on Twitter in case anybody missed it. Of course, if you want more NFL news and notes, follow Full Press NFL on Twitter as well as at FP_coverage. And of course, if you guys want to follow us on YouTube or Facebook at Full Press Coverage, daily video content there. You got FPC Radio Live weekday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern, I believe, 9 a.m. Central Time with Ian Glendon. Also 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern. We have FPC NFL Sunday, myself, Ian Glendon, Ricky Keeler. We've been on the last couple of weeks breaking down the difficult teams to kind of decipher this season. Obviously been a wild year and a lot of big games again this weekend. So we'll be breaking that all down again Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time, YouTube, Facebook, or like I said, if you guys follow the Twitter accounts at Full Press NFL, at FP_coverage, you guys can kind of watch and follow along there. And of course, we'll be back after the game to kind of recap Chiefs Broncos. We'll have a lot more ideas coming out next week as the Chiefs will take on the Raiders. So just keeps kind of rolling on here at the end of the NFL regular season. A lot of exciting stuff still to happen. Cannot wait to watch Chargers Bengals Sunday before the Chiefs. That'll be probably the game I'm most looking forward to watching outside of the Chiefs on Sunday. So a lot of implications with that. Can't wait to talk about it Sunday morning. So follow us along there. Like I said, follow us on Twitter at FPC_Chiefs. We'll be doing live coverage of the game Sunday night. So stick around with us there. Follow along. It'll be a great time. So really excited. Chiefs versus Broncos. First meeting of the season. Again, stay tuned for the game preview article later today. That'll drop on Friday. So with that, enjoy football this weekend. Enjoy your weekend. And we will see you guys next time.